Today on Vox Talks Economics, do you and your boss see the world in the same way? And is that affecting your performance at work? Welcome to Vox Talks Economics from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Every week we bring you the best new research in economics. So remember, subscribe. Follow us on Instagram as well. You'll find us at Vox Talks Economics. You might not agree with your boss about everything. Well, yeah, we all have different ideas about the world. But if you and your boss don't share the same values, are you less productive? And if so, can that be fixed? Alexia Delfino of Bocconi University measured both the values and the performance of bosses and their team members in a global bank. And what she and her co-author discovered may surprise you. She joins me now. Alexia, welcome to Vox Talks Economics.
Thank you very much, Tim. It's a pleasure to be here.
Alexia, I've started talking about values. I don't really know what we mean by values. What do we mean?
So you can think about values as principles that guide our behavior and decisions, from the small ones, like buying your lunch, to the bigger ones, like choosing your spouse or deciding who to work for. And in the paper, we decided to focus on a set of personal values that people care to pass on to their children. In particular, we took a list of values from a well-known international survey called the World Value Survey. And this gives us a list of values. Think about imagination, determination, obedience, that are all good principles. And for us, were particularly interesting because they do not necessarily impact how productive you are at work.
And do these values that you're measuring here, do they change according to our mood, the weather, the season, or are they a fundamental part of what we are?
That's a great question. And I keep introspecting to see how much my values change over time as the weather changes in Milan. Well, in the paper, we interpret them as stable, at least for a few years, which is the time span that we look at in our analysis. And the advantage of taking the values from previous surveys is that we can look at other work that explicitly tried to see how stable these values are over time. And what this previous literature tells us is that our personal values tend to be correlated with individual preferences that tend to be sticky, so they do not change much over time. And then some papers particularly focus on specific values and see that people don't change much their mind about how important these values are for them. So yes, overall, I think we can think about them as really a part of who we are.
These days, if you spend 10 minutes on social media, you go on Facebook or you go on X, you might conclude that we don't share very many values. We disagree on everything, it seems. How big is the variation in these values that you're measuring?
Well, it's a fantastic observation. I agree with you and everyone would agree with this. And what was striking to us is that you don't need to go into social media. Even if you look at one single firm or one single office, you actually find pretty large variation in coworkers' values. And I'll give you just an example. Take the value obedience is one of the values that we have in our list.
Okay.
We have that 3% of US bankers in our data think about obedience as a core important value that they would teach to their children. If you take instead Indian bankers, 30% of them mention obedience as a very important one. So there's massive variation in how much people care about different values. I gave you an example based on nationality, but to us, one thing that it's even more fascinating is that the place where you were born, or your gender, your ethnicity, your age, are actually pretty poor predictors of your values. Huh. So if you take two white men, both 45, both work in London, they've been working in the same firm for 10 years, it's actually very hard to predict what their values would be. They may mention extremely different values, even if when you look at them, they look very similar.
One way to avoid clashes at work might be to replace people with machines. So how close are we to doing that? For our episode, Our Workless Future, we spoke to Anton Korinek about what a world without work might mean for our economies and for us. When you follow Vox Talks, you'll get access to this and all our weekly episodes.
You surveyed the employees of a large bank. I noticed the bank's name is not mentioned in the research. Are you going to tell us how large, which bank it was, Alexia?
Well, I could tell you, but then I will need to destroy this recording and maybe kill you. So jokes aside, well, unfortunately, I cannot disclose the name of the bank because as it's often in this type of research with partners in the field, then we signed a research collaboration agreement and we have confidentiality that we need to maintain.
Okay.
But I can tell you a few features of the bank. It's one of the largest banks in the world and it has more than 200,000 employees.
Oh, that narrows it down.
Yes. And it operates in more than 50 countries. So we collected values on around 20% of the employee basis. So the data that we're going to be speaking about is around 35,000 employees.
That is a lot of data. How did you measure the values of that many people?
We had the chance to add a question within a census survey that the bank runs every year, and it's sent to all the employees across the world.
Hmm.
So we took this question from the World Value Survey, as I was mentioning before, and the question presents respondents with a list of 11 values and asks them to pick their top five, so their preferred five, and rank them. And the way the question is phrased is that it asks respondents what they think children should be encouraged to learn at home. We particularly liked this phrasing because, of course, Tim, if you ask people about their values in a survey sent by the employer, you may be worried that they're going to misreport their answers.
Yes.
They might be, you know, just simply saying what they expect their employer to hear. And so we thought that actually asking about hypothetical children could lead people to report in a more truthful way what the actual values are. And also the list of 11 values that we have, such as obedience, imagination, self-expression, are all good principles. So there's not one single value that you can pick to project a more favorable image of yourself.
My prior is that people who work for banks, sorry to any of you who are listening who work for a bank, generally think about the world in the same way. Did this come out in the data when you were looking at their personal values?
That's a fantastic point, and that's also why I find the banking sector fascinating.
Yeah.
So the answer is yes and no, in the sense that I have some other work with other colleagues of mine in which we indeed show that bankers have some distinctive values. In particular, the top layers of the bank tend to have some values that distinguish them from the society where they work.
Mm-hmm.
There is a sense in which bankers are a slightly more homogeneous group of people in terms of values compared to the society that they represent. Yet, what in this paper we show is that if you go at a granular level, at a team or an office level, you also find a lot of disagreement on values between coworkers or between workers and their managers. And that's the type of variation that we exploit in the paper to construct our measures of what we call value misalignment. And we have two main measures. One is vertical misalignment in values, which is between an employee and their manager, and horizontal misalignment, which is instead between employees at the same level.
You're relating this to employee performance. So we need to measure employee performance. What are you measuring here?
We have our values measures that come from the survey that I mentioned mm-hmm. before, and then we merge this data for every single individual to human resource records that give us two main measures of performance. These measures are different, yet both are important because they determine the bonus that you can get at the end of the year. So one measure, which we labeled financial performance, you can think about it as a metric of goal achievement. How much you fulfilled the expectations for your role in the bank. And these expectations are based usually on concrete objectives in scorecards. So it tends to be a relatively hard measure of your productivity.
Mm-hmm.
The second performance measure that we have instead, it's more subjective because it's the manager's assessment of the extent to which an employee shows good behavior. For instance, customer orientation, or the extent to which the employee is a good team member and collaborates with others in the team.
Okay, so headline results. What is the difference in performance when a worker shares values with the manager and when that worker does not share the same values?
Very good. So let me tell you how we get there. We construct our measures of vertical misalignment. And intuitively, this is a measure that tells us the distance between the most important values mentioned by an employee or mentioned by her manager. And then we look at how this vertical misalignment is related to the performance metrics that I mentioned before. And if you go from the employee that has the smallest misalignment with the manager, so the most aligned in values, to the one that has the largest misalignment, then performance declines by
6%.
6%? Yes.
That's quite a lot.
That's quite a big drop. Of course, you would want to relate this to also like how much of bonus decline it implies or a wage decline it implies. We don't have measures like this, but I can give you a different benchmark to give you a sense of how large this effect is. If you look in the bank, having a manager of a different gender is also associated with a decline in performance of an employee. And the effect of going from the minimum to the maximum misalignment is 4 times larger the effect of having a manager of a different gender. So to the point of magnitude, that's a quite large impact.
That is large. What are the differences in values we're talking about here? Because if I had a difference in values with my manager because I didn't think that, I don't know, hard work or personal responsibility was important, well, I would expect that probably I might not perform as well. Is it those types of values or is it different ones that don't necessarily relate to productivity?
We believe it's a very important distinction and we try to test this directly. So we looked at values that are important for performance in the bank. So we see are positively correlated with the performance of a person in the bank, such as hard work or responsibility. These are two of them, compared to values that instead don't show any correlation with performance in the bank. And surprisingly, what we find is that it's not only those values that are directly linked to productivity that determine our results. And so it really seems that just seeing the world differently, even in values that have nothing to do with your production at the workplace, matters for your performance.
Now, I speak to quite a lot of managers, Alexia, and one thing that nearly all managers complain about is that they find it very hard to relate to their Gen Z employees, their young employees. You could also perhaps be proxying for the effects of sex or race or things like this that would create distance perhaps between managers and employees. Do we know that it is all about values and it's not about these other characteristics?
Intuitively, we also thought when we started working on the data that the group you belong to, whether it's Gen Z or gender group or a certain race, would actually capture a lot of the relationship between value misalignment and performance that we see in the data. And actually, this is not the case. Or to be more precise, the effect that we see between value misalignment and performance is robust when I also control for a lot of other differences that employees may have with their manager, such as being from a different generation, being from a different gender, ethnic group, or even being born in a different country. So it really seems that group belonging, they have some direct effects per se on performance, but does not explain the entire effect on values. So there's some additional performance costs that the value differences bring that are not fully captured by the group you belong to and whether this is different than the groups of your manager.
And you're confident that there aren't unmeasured differences that are driving this?
That's, you know, a big chunk of the work that as economists we need to do in our papers to convince of our story. And so let me give you just a little bit more detail on how we try to address your concern. So we have two main ways in which in the paper we try to exclude that there are some other variables that we don't measure that are driving our effect. In the first part of the paper, we try to compare two employees that are as similar as possible in terms of demographics, job role, experience in the bank, place where they work. They also have two managers that are identical. And these two employees just differ in the extent to which they are aligned or not with the manager.
Yeah.
Now, of course, this strategy has limitations because, as you're rightly asking, we cannot measure everything about a person. And so we're missing some variables that will be important in explaining our effects. For instance, think about socioeconomic background or education. And so to try and improve upon this strategy, we do a couple of things. So first of all, observable characteristics of people are actually poor predictors of their values. So we think that adding additional metrics, such as education or socioeconomic background, may not improve that much prediction on values, so may not explain too much of the effects. A second thing that we do in the paper, and I would be brief here because it can become very technical, for a subset of the employees that we have, for UK employees, we can track them over time for 2 years. And so what we can do is to follow one single employee, take team in an office in London, and see whether changes in misalignment with their managers that are caused by random changes in their managers are associated with also changes in performance. So this allows us to net out also an observable characteristics of team that we cannot measure directly in the data. And the results that we find are very similar across the two methodologies.
I was talking to someone who works in a US company. And one of the things she mentioned to me at the moment is that even the atmosphere within her team is poisonous at the moment, just because recent changes, political events in the United States, has brought out the differences in values among team members, and she's sure that they're not working well. How does value differences within teams compare to value differences between bosses and people who work for those bosses, which is what we're focusing on here?
I can imagine how much the political uncertainty in the US is affecting workplaces exactly around the issue of values. In our setting, we also have measures of horizontal misalignment in values, which are between co-workers at the same level. Mm-hmm. We do not find such strong evidence that being different values with your colleagues affects performance. We do find some evidence that it may affect your decision to stay at the bank, but that's not so robust across methodologies. So we don't focus too much on the paper on this result because of these differences across methods.
Another thing that comes to mind is many more people are working remotely, at least for some of the week. I would have thought that maybe, well, I mean, it could work both ways, couldn't it? It could make those differences in values less or more important. Do you measure this at all?
There's a lot more that can be done in future research to shed light on this aspect. What we see in our data is that workers who are not physically located in the same office with their managers do not have costs of value misalignment in terms of performance. So if I bring this result to the example that you mentioned of working from home, it could indeed imply that working remotely can make the productivity effect of value misalignment weaker. And this may be, I don't know, maybe because you don't get to experience every single day the challenges of communicating with someone who has values that are different from yours or interacting with people that are different from you. And so we don't have direct data that speak to this, but I think it's a fascinating area for future research and work.
I would imagine managers everywhere, especially in the bank that you have surveyed, it would grab their attention, the size of the drop-off in performance. But if we're going to fix it, we need to know why it's happening. Do we know what the mechanism is here?
Absolutely. So we explore a few channels in the paper, thanks to the rich data that we have from the employees survey that the bank runs. And what we find was perhaps surprising to us, because the first natural channel we explored was whether managers are biased. Just, you know, give a worse performance evaluation to people that are more different from them.
Yeah.
And we don't really find evidence of this in the paper. The two main mechanisms that seem to be at play are related to a decline in workers' morale So people become less proud of working for the bank and less likely to recommend the bank to others as a great workplace where to be employed. The second channel, which is even more important than morale, is a worsening of communication between employees and their managers. In particular, it's communication which is bottom-up. So it's the employees that become less willing to raise their voice, to express their opinions whenever they see policies they do not agree with, to participate in informal gatherings with their managers, and so in general, to speak up within the bank.
Well, now you've discovered this problem, it becomes someone's job to fix it. The cat is out of the bag. What can that person do?
I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of that person.
I would not either. I was thinking exactly that.
We talk about a few ways in which the bank, as well as other organizations that have misalignment in values among their workforce, that a couple of implications and ways in which they can try to fix this challenge. Mm-hmm. So the first one is you can think about assigning people to teams in order to minimize value misalignment with their bosses. This seems a cheap policy because you don't need to spend more resources. You're just reshuffling resources around. Yet, it can be more costly than it seems. In our data, people had no incentives to misreport their values because there was no consequence on the reports. But then if you start conditioning team assignment to the values that people report, they may start lying about it.
So
organizations will need to try and find tools that are sophisticated enough so that team, you as an employee, report truthfully what your values are. The second cost that maybe going on is that we cannot exclude that actually diversity in values can be useful for some type of tasks or projects. Think about maybe more innovative or creative tasks where you really need a diversity of ideas to perform well. And we cannot fully document these type of benefits that diversity in values can bring in our setting. A second implication instead that we discuss in the paper is the fact that organizations may try to foster an environment where differences are accepted, acknowledged, and actually leveraged for better interactions at the workplace. So an environment which feels more psychologically safe, if you want. We mentioned that, you know, we seem to have a causal chain in our data that tells us that misalignment in values depletes communication, and as a result, communication leads to lower performance. And so organizations, what they can try to do is to break this chain by investing in initiatives that improve communication at the workplace between employees and their managers.
Do you think that this is just something that's happening within the bank? Do you think it's present in every industry?
Our intuition is that value misalignment can be even more important in other industries.
Oh.
There's this sense in which bankers select into the industry mainly for monetary incentives rather than values. Mm-hmm. And so you can think that in industries instead in which entry itself is more related to the values that you care about, then having misalignment at the workplace can lead to even bigger impacts on productivity and performance.
In which case, Alexia, I must have done more than 100 interviews with managers, executives over the years. And one thing they will always tell me is that it's very important to have teams that have different sorts of values and that diversity of thinking because the outcomes are better when you do. Well, the numbers are in. You've compiled them, and it seems that what they're saying is not true.
So I don't want to claim it's not true what more than 100 managers said, absolutely. But I'm very glad you asked this because also for us, we try to think through in an also cautious way about what our results imply in terms of diversity at the workplace. It's true that in our context, we find an overall net negative effect on performance of value differences. Yet this does not need to be the case in every single context. And I think everyone would agree that diversity can bring both benefits, for instance, diversity of ideas, thinking outside the box, and costs in terms of communicating with each other when we have different views of the world. And so depending on the setting, the job, the project, the outcomes that you look at, then the cost-benefit analysis can be more tilted towards the benefits versus the cost. And for instance, in the paper, we do a small exercise in which we try to look at those job roles that require more creativity. And we find that the performance costs or misalignment in values are attenuated in those particular roles, which suggests indeed that depending on the tasks that you have to do, you may actually find the benefits of diversity are larger than the costs. I think what, you know, I would tell to these 100 managers that you've been talking with is that the core message that the paper would like to give to them is that diversity is not always immediately observable. And so if you're an organization that is trying to manage an increasingly diverse workforce, there are also some subtle costs to diversity, such as the ones in values, that the organization needs to be aware of and try to counteract.
Well, if those managers are listening to this, good luck to you. Good luck to you as well, Lexia, in this work. It's fascinating. Thank you for talking about it.
Thank you so much.
The paper is Value Dissonance at Work, and the authors Alexia Delfino and Miguel Espinosa. It is discussion paper 19929 at CPR if you want to look it up that way.
Vox Talks Economics is a Talk Normal production. The assistant producer is Megan Bieber, and our editor is Andrei Zagarian. Thanks to Sophie Routon and Mariolina Ciccone at CEPR. Next week on Vox Talks Economics, six fixes for central banks.